Welcome to the Your Dating Bestie podcast. I'm Ellie Klein, your best friend for all things dating. As a professional dating mentor, kind of like the love child of Carrie Bradshaw and Crocodile Dundee, I help women go from dating sucks to dating success with my unique best friend approach. Ready to find your Mr. Right? It all starts at yourdatingbestie.com. Hello, and welcome to episode 23, Maths 2024 from a dating expert's perspective, week two. So this week on Married at First Sight Australia was Confessions Week, and the couples had a few different tasks. One was to write a letter to their spouse confessing something. One was to look through each other's phones. One was to rank a dozen traits they're looking for in a partner in order of importance. And one was the famous photo ranking task, where they have to put their fellow contestants in order of attractiveness, which in my opinion is about 50 shades of wrong. A quick reminder before we get started. One, these observations are based on the show and not the people themselves. I can only comment on what I see. I don't know anyone personally. And two, as a dating expert, I work with women who are looking for love with a man. So that's who my advice will be directed to. Okay, let's start with Natalie and Collins. At the first dinner party, Natalie looked around at all the happy couples and realized she and Collins weren't one of them, and never would be. And I don't blame her. Not only was Collins not excited to spend time with her, even though she's an absolute sweetheart, but he was extremely excited to spend time with literally everyone else. Natalie was clearly on the verge of tears the entire night until she finally did start crying. She got up to move away from the dining table and decided to not only leave the dinner party, but the entire experiment, which meant it was all over for Collins too. Now, surprisingly, she re-entered the experiment a few days later, but I have a feeling they're not even going to make it past the first commitment ceremony. Natalie is a lovely girl, and I honestly don't think the producers were trying to stitch her up. I think they really thought she and Collins would be a good match, but Collins is just seriously lacking in emotional intelligence. He seems like a nice guy, but he doesn't know who he is or what he wants in a partner and has no relationship experience, while Natalie is ready to really be with someone. So Natalie, if you're listening, please come and join us in the Your Dating Bestie community. I'll teach you how to match yourself, and I'll be there for you every step of the way until you find your Mr. Right. I just want to give you a big hug. You deserve love, and I have absolutely no doubt you'll find it soon. Let's move on to Cassandra and Tristan. In his letter, Tristan confessed to Sandra that the reason he hasn't even tried to kiss her is because he used to be overweight, has faced a lot of rejection from women in his life, and now has an overwhelming fear of rejection. He eventually did kiss her, but it was a peck on the lips and not quite the victory he seemed to think it was. Once again, I really like these two, but they appear to be at different stages. Tristan is sweet but inexperienced, while Cassandra is probably ready to meet the man she's going to spend the rest of her life with. But I really do like them, so we'll see what happens. Now, a few couples were smart enough to lie to each other in the photo ranking task and put their spouse first. If memory serves, those couples include Lauren and Jonathan, Sarah and Tim, Tori and Jack, and Ellie and Ben. Speaking of Ellie and Ben, let's discuss them next. Their traits ranking task was interesting. Ellie put family oriented, wants children, and good conversation as her top three traits she's looking for in a partner. Ben, however, put good conversation, healthy lifestyle, and financial stability as his top three traits he's looking for in a partner. He said this was because he doesn't want to marry someone just to have kids with them. Ellie explained she doesn't want to marry someone just to have kids with them either, but she also doesn't want to get serious with someone who doesn't want to have kids. Personally, I understood where they were both coming from. The problem was, I don't think Ben understood where Ellie was coming from. And then he really put his foot in his mouth when he said, and I quote, "Kids are very important for females. I understand." Ugh, no. Kids are very important for people who want to have kids, which is most human beings. Throughout the conversation, I got the impression that Ben doesn't particularly want to have kids. Like he'd be open to it under the right circumstances, but it's not a priority to him. And I get it. I didn't particularly want kids either, which is one of the reasons I don't have them. But that doesn't mean I'm not acutely aware that most people want to have kids. Most of my clients want to have kids if they don't already have them. And I do everything within my power to help them realize that dream with a truly great partner. As for Ellie and Ben, the cracks are already starting to show. I think Ellie needs someone warmer, someone more emotionally intelligent, and someone who definitely wants to have kids. And Ben probably needs someone who prioritizes travel, creativity, and carefree living over the traditional marriage and kids lifestyle. Now, on to Lucinda and Timothy. Timothy flat out refused to do the photo ranking task because, as he said, no good can come of it. And I loved him for it. He's absolutely right. No good can come of it. It's gross. I can't believe so many contestants allow themselves to be bullied into it. He didn't want to look like a creep ranking much younger women. He didn't want to make Lucinda feel like crap by comparing her to all the other women, most of whom are much younger than her. And no one was putting a gun to his head, so he decided not to do it. Good on him. But they did do the traits ranking task, and this was interesting. Lucinda put good in bed much higher on her priority list than Timothy. Between that and Timothy not wanting to discuss his sexual desires with Lucinda, at least not on camera, sex clearly just isn't that important to Timothy. He doesn't want to swing from the chandeliers. I think he just wants a partner who he feels comfortable with, who's a great companion, and who he can have vanilla sex with on a semi-regular basis, and that's about it. As women, we shouldn't assume all men are sex-obsessed, just as Ben shouldn't assume all women are kids-obsessed. Lucinda and Timothy just aren't a match, and I feel sorry for both of them. I feel sorry for Timothy that he's constantly being pushed out of his comfort zone by Lucinda, and I feel sorry for Lucinda that she wasn't matched with someone more spiritual and adventurous. Now, let's move on to Andrea and Richard. Despite Richard being 62, which is more than a decade older than Timothy, Richard didn't at all feel like a creep for ranking all the young women in order of attractiveness. And he wasn't at all concerned how it would make Andrea feel having to compete with women decades younger than her. He generously, but also stupidly, put Andrea in equal third place. In other words, he failed at the task. He shouldn't have done it at all, but if he did do it, he should have put Andrea first because he genuinely likes her and genuinely finds her attractive, which she is. Unfortunately, none of this occurred to him. Now, how did they resolve it? Okay, take notes, people. Andrea very calmly, rationally, and fairly told Richard how that made her feel. She didn't raise her voice. She didn't swear. She didn't call him any names, but she also didn't hold in her feelings because when you do that, they're bound to come out in some other way at some other time when you should have just addressed them in the moment. And how did Richard respond? Beautifully. He totally understood where she was coming from. He felt true remorse. He apologized. She accepted his apology and they got back to their happy relationship. Thank you, Andrea and Richard, for modeling this for us. This is how a strong couple resolves issues. And last but not least, the one you've been waiting for, the absolute doozy of a confession that Jaden made to Eden. Of all the things he could have confessed to, I must admit I'd never heard of anything like this before. Jaden told Eden that his ex-girlfriend cheated on him. And when she wanted to get back together, he said he would on one condition, that he could sleep with one of her best friends while she watched. Blech. And he said it actually happened. Now, I've since heard on the So Dramatic podcast that it didn't happen, but that Jaden did suggest it. What in the actual F is going on in this guy's head? If you're wondering whether or not this is a red flag, it is. Firstly, the ex-girlfriend said she didn't cheat on him. They were on a break. But even if she did, this is a disgusting revenge fantasy that no one in their right mind would ever agree to. Eden, be afraid. Be very, very afraid. It's extremely dangerous to pursue a relationship with someone who's vindictive, because it's only a matter of time until you're the one on the receiving end of their nastiness. Ladies, you need to be able to resolve conflict the way Andrea and Richard did. You need to be able to air your grievances and be confident your partner will care about your feelings and want to make it right. This is why it's so important to get to know someone over time before you decide whether or not they're your person. That lovey-dovey feeling is only one cog in the wheel. You need to see what they're really like when the mask slips and they show their true colors. This usually takes about 6 to 12 months, so don't expect to know whether or not you've met your husband from date one. It's always rosy in the beginning, otherwise you wouldn't get into the relationship in the first place. But it's not a waste of time to find out a few months in that you're not a match. It's a waste of time to find out a few months in that you're not a match, but then keep trying to make it work for years and years after that. Now, if you want to have a much quicker and smoother journey to Mr. Right than I did, here's my number one tip. Stop passively consuming dating advice and start actively learning how to date more effectively. Dating advice alone won't help you find love. All these articles, podcasts, videos, books, and courses are actually keeping you stuck. You don't need more information. You need implementation. Someone to help you apply the advice. That's why I take a unique best friend approach to helping my clients find love. Inside the Your Dating Bestie community, you'll receive my step-by-step blueprint for finding Mr. Right, but more importantly, 24/7 access to me to help you implement it. You'll also receive a professionally written dating profile to make you irresistible online, and you'll be welcomed into a supportive group of like-minded ladies. No more going it alone or trying to figure out this whole dating thing by yourself. Care to join us? It all starts at yourdatingbestie.com. Are you an attractive, intelligent, and fun-loving woman with a big heart and you can't figure out why you're still single? Well then, my free report has all the answers. It's called Why You're Still Single. 7 reasons a luscious lady like you hasn't found her Mr. Right yet. Just visit yourdatingbestie.com.